I will work with Congress and our military to finally repeal the law that denies gay Americans the right to serve the country they love because of who they are.
Name and first set to Mrs. Court.
Tennis Australia is facing a dilemma. What do they do with their crazy aunt?
I want 100 of your time. Your mind.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A gay couple sues India to civilize their sacred marriage. McEnroe and Navratilova backhand court's bigotry. And queer artists bring gusto to the Grammys. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending February 1st, 2020. In India, a petition filed with the Kerala High Court claims that not allowing a gay couple to marry is unconstitutional. Plaintiffs Sonu M.S. and Nikesh Pushkaran held a wedding ceremony at the Sri Krishna Temple in Guruvayur. However, religious authorities refused to issue a marriage certificate to the couple. The Supreme Court decriminalized gay sex 2 months later. The lawsuit charges that denying lesbian and gay couples access to civil marriage violates constitutional guarantees of equality, individual dignity, and personal autonomy. The couple also argues that the Heterosexual-Only Special Marriage Act of 1954 is discriminatory on its face. Their petition references the U.S. Supreme Court's 2015 marriage equality ruling. The lawsuit faces numerous hurdles on its way up India's judicial ladder.
India's Supreme Court has accepted a challenge to the Transgender Persons Protection of Rights Act 2019. The filing by trans activist Swati Bidhan Barucha cites constitutional guarantees of equality and privacy. Barucha is charging that the recently enacted legislation actually violates the rights of transgender people and reinforces prejudices against them. The lawsuit is no surprise. Trans activists complained when the measure was first introduced last year and when it was ultimately signed into law in December. Sections of the Act require the certification of a trans person's gender identity by a district magistrate. The filing points out that cisgender people don't have to do anything to confirm their gender identity. It also claims that anti-bias protections in the Act are toothless because there are no provisions to punish violators. In a landmark 2014 decision, the Indian Supreme Court ruled that discrimination against transgender people violates three articles of India's constitution. This week's filing says that the so-called Transgender Persons Protection of Rights Act is itself a violation of those articles.
Police officials banned the annual Pride Parade in the Indian city of Mumbai this week ahead of its planned February 1st step-off. Queer Azadi Mumbai has organized the event there since 2008. The group posted a letter from the police saying that officials worried about anti-government protests over the Citizenship Amendment Act spilling over into Pride. India's streets have been filled with demonstrations since the act was also signed into law in December. It pointedly excludes Muslims fleeing religious persecution in Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Afghanistan from its expedited citizenship process for refugees. It specifically welcomes Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, Jains, Parsis, and Christians. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights calls it fundamentally discriminatory. LGBTQ activists have been among those protesting the legislation. Mumbai activist and drag artist Harish Iyer tweeted that, "We all are a mixture of identities. Queer is just one of them. We don't exist in the forefront or margins. We also exist in intersections." Activist Rituparna Bora told Al Jazeera that, "Queer people are either disowned by their family or forced to leave homes. How would they acquire the documents that are necessary to prove their citizenship?"
10 young men in Mauritania are under arrest after appearing in a social media video of what local reports call the country's first gay wedding ceremony. Consensual acts against nature can be punished with death by stoning in the Sharia-governed North African nation. However, no executions for gay sex have been reported in the past decade. Police Commissioner Mohamed Oud Najib said that the ceremony was held during a mid-January birthday celebration of a homosexual in the capital Nouakchott. An unnamed source told Agence France-Presse that the prosecutor's office sent the young homosexual delinquents to prison to await judgment for acts contrary to morality, committing acts forbidden by Allah, and circulating a ceremony of debauchery. According to the French news agency, Mauritania's mostly Muslim population may tolerate lesbians and gay men in some circumstances, but sexual minorities are often publicly mocked and tend to keep a low profile.
TotalCroatianNews.com reported this week that the social welfare center in Zagreb has defied a court order by refusing to accept a gay couple's foster care application. As we've previously reported, the Croatian Administrative Court issued a binding judgment in December in the couple's favor after a two-year legal battle. Life partners Ivo Sagoda and Mladen Kozic began the effort to expand their family in 2017. After passing all the psychological evaluations and screening tests, they were told that the Foster Care Act doesn't expressly list life partners as possible foster parents. Croatia recognizes same-gender civil partners but doesn't allow them to marry. The couple said that they were shocked by the rejection because it refused to acknowledge the court's direct order. They said after the December ruling that they had already started preparing their home for children. Welfare center officials called the court order an opinion that contradicts existing law. Sagoda and Kozic say they will file another legal challenge to the denial of their application. Kozic said, "This is another small obstacle that Ivo and I will have to overcome together."
Republican lawmakers in a dozen U.S. states have introduced bills to sharply curtail the rights of transgender young people and their parents, and in some cases, to criminalize medical professionals who care for them. South Dakota leads the pack. The state house passed a bill this week to throw a doctor in prison for prescribing puberty blockers or hormone treatment for young people under the age of 16 who've been diagnosed with gender dysphoria or for participating in parental-approved gender confirmation surgery. Critics warn that the measure denies parents the power to decide what's best for their children. Dr. Alexis Chavez is the medical director of the queer youth suicide prevention group, the Trevor Project. She said that such proposals not only contradict reality and majority medical opinion in the United States, they would also put young lives in jeopardy. The bill's lead sponsor is South Dakota Republican State Representative Fred Deutsch. Deutsch had to apologize recently for his remarks comparing doctors who treat transgender kids to Nazis. Under his bill, doctors could spend up to a year in prison and be fined up to $2,000 for each offense. Deutsch claims that his bill would protect vulnerable children. It passed in the House by a vote of 46-23 and is expected to be approved by the Republican-controlled state Senate. Republican Governor Kristi Noem has yet to weigh in on the measure.
Two more trans youth-related bills were filed this week in the South Dakota State Senate. One would require a public school counselor, psychologist, or social worker to notify parents if a student expresses feelings of gender dysphoria. The other gives parents the right to refuse consent for any health care service to a minor if it would induce, confirm, or promote their child's transgender identity. Measures targeting transgender youth are also in the works in Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Texas. According to The Advocate, nine Republicans filed a bill this week in the Iowa House that would become the first time an entire category is removed from a state's anti-discrimination protections. The bill would delete all references to gender identity from the Iowa Civil Rights Act that were added in 2007. Some activists charge that the anti-trans efforts are being orchestrated across the country by right-wing groups like the Family Research Council, the Eagle Forum, and the Alliance Defending Freedom.
Finally, a Missouri state lawmaker is targeting librarians who host Drag Queen Story Hour. Republican Ben Baker's bill would withdraw state funding from any public library that allows the display of what it calls age-inappropriate material. Translated from the legalese, Baker explains that Drag Queen Story Hour is something that I take objection to, and I think a lot of parents do. The proposal has yet to be formally considered by any legislative committee. Defenders of Drag Queen Story Hour quickly pointed out that no one is forced to attend such events. According to a website that tracks them, the first Drag Queen Story Hour was held in San Francisco in 2015. The colorful idea has since spread worldwide. The site says it's meant to give kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. Anyone with knowledge of queer culture knows that if you're going to piss off anyone in the community, it had better not be drag queens. The Springfield News Leader reported this week that plans are in the works for drag queens from across Missouri to converge on the state capitol in Jefferson City on March 7th to protest the measure. What a colorful sight that promises to be.
That's NewsWrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending February 1st, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text to this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
There's only one thing longer than the list of Margaret Court's tennis achievements. It's her list of offensive and homophobic statements.
Tennis's bad boy takes on the game's crazy aunt later in the program.
Oh, yesterday. All my troubles seem so far away. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
As the U.S. and the world braces for the third State of the Union address by now impeached President Donald Trump, we found some solace in going back to the first State of the Union by his predecessor. 10 years ago this week, President Barack Obama's image of the nation was much different than the one we see today.
We find unity in our incredible diversity, drawing on the promise enshrined in our Constitution. The notion that we're all created equal, that no matter who you are or what you look like, if you abide by the law, you should be protected by it. If you adhere to our common values, you should be treated no different than anyone else. We must continually renew this promise. My administration has a civil rights division that is once again prosecuting civil rights violations and employment discrimination. We finally strengthened. We finally strengthened our laws to protect against crimes driven by hate. This year, I will work with Congress and our military to finally repeal the law that denies gay Americans the right to serve the country they love because of who they are. It's the right thing to do.
Although Obama's vow to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell was greeted with some skepticism, he did come through and eventually endorsed marriage equality, too. The Union is in another kind of state today. Many of the civil rights advances touted a decade ago have been rolled back. Protections for transgender students are gone. The administration is fighting employment discrimination claims based on sexual orientation and gender identity. And now it's trans service members who are under attack. And what can we say about the commitment to diversity and abiding by the laws of the land?
I never fully felt accepted in rap and stuff, so for y'all to always stand by me and get me here, I really appreciate that.
I said I wouldn't cry, but how can you not?
Thank you.
Singing praises at the Grammys, but first...
Heartless. How could you
Court.
I love the game and very proud of my nation, and I'm very thankful to be honoured tonight.
When Tennis Australia wanted to recognise the 50th anniversary of Margaret Court's championship year, they tried to tiptoe around the issues she's been championing since then. Star player John McEnroe has never been one to tiptoe around anything.
The air quality in Melbourne is not the only nightmare that Tennis Australia is having. Margaret Court is another one. Let the self-appointed commissioner of tennis tell you who she is. Margaret Court is an Australian singles player who won a record 24 singles Grand Slam titles, and all four of them in 1970. She also has the second biggest court in Melbourne Park named after her. There's only one thing longer than the list of Margaret Court's tennis achievements. It's her list of offensive and homophobic statements. Just a few examples. During the apartheid regime in South Africa, she said, "I love South Africa. They have the racial situation better organized than anyone else." What? About transgender children and LGBTIQ. "It's all the work of the devil. Tennis is full of lesbians. It is sad for children to be exposed to homosexuality." Margaret Court is actually a ventriloquist, using the Bible as a dummy to say whatever she wants. This year marks the 50th anniversary of Margaret Court's Grand Slam, and Tennis Australia is facing a dilemma. What do they do with their crazy aunt? They finally decided to invite her, but it came with a twist. "We will recognize what she did in 1970, but we won't celebrate the person." Huh? Well, it doesn't work that way. You can't separate the person from her achievements. Look at me. If you recognize the fact I won 7 Grand Slams, guess what? Then you gotta celebrate the fact that I had the loudest mouth in the history of the tennis tour. To the credit of Tennis Australia, Margaret Court's tribute is counterbalanced by the organization of the biggest LGBTIQ tennis tournament in the world at Melbourne Park. Organizers call it the Glam Slam. Margaret would probably call it Hell on Earth. Oh, and they also installed gender-neutral toilets in the Rod Laver Arena. Good luck, Margaret. She lives in Perth. Serena, do me a favor. Get 2 more Grand Slams this year and get to 25 so we could leave Margaret Court and her offensive views in the past where they both belong. Thank you.
That was never docile U.S. tennis champ John McEnroe. Another champion joined McEnroe, displaying a banner at the Australian Open and appealed to change the name of the arena honoring Court to tribute Indigenous Australian tennis great Yvonne Goolagong instead. That champion was also never-shy lesbian tennis icon Martina Navratilova.
"I celebrate her tennis. I don't celebrate anything else."
McEnroe and Navratilova both subsequently apologized for breaking protocol by taking their protest to the court.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out. Support your local public radio station. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
The 62nd Annual Grammy Awards offered several satisfying queer moments. This despite the fact that right across from the January 26th gala at Staples Center in Los Angeles, fans were mourning the tragic loss of basketball superstar Kobe Bryant that very morning. Bryant was killed with his 13-year-old daughter and 7 others in a helicopter crash. He had worked hard to rehabilitate himself after an admitted sexual assault in his younger days. He also took pains to change his attitude and become an LGBTQ ally after being fined by the league for using a homophobic slur. At the Grammys, 2 black gay men and a mixed mastering lesbian took home honors in the Best Rap Album category.
The Grammy goes to L.A. Stand Up, Igor and Tyler, the Creator.
Mama said I'm on the spectrum. Don't call me selfish, I hate sharing. This 60-40 isn't working. I want 100 of your time, your mind. Please don't leave me now.
All right, so I don't know if I'm going to be up here again, so bear with me. To my mother, you did a great job raising this guy. To my friends and my family, for trusting my ideas and putting up with my annoying, hyperactive energy since we were children, but always being there. To my fans and my label, again, trusting my crazy ideas. To the new fans, to the old ones, all the crazy stuff I do. I never fully felt accepted in rap and stuff. So for y'all to always stand by me and get me here, I really appreciate that. And I don't know if he's here, but I really want to thank Pharrell Williams because, again, growing up feeling left of center to a lot of stuff that I saw on TV, that man has allowed me to be comfortable with myself and has opened up doors that you guys cannot imagine before I met him and when I met him. So thank you, P. I love y'all.
In recent days, there's been a lot of news about the voting process at the Grammys. Has any of that affected the way that you're looking at winning this award today?
I'm half and half on it. On one side, I'm very grateful that what I made could just be, you know, acknowledged in a world like this. But also, it sucks that whenever we, and I mean guys that look like me, do anything that's genre bending or that's anything, they always put it in a rap or urban category, which is, and I don't like that urban word. It's just a politically correct way to say the N-word to me. So when I hear that, I'm just like, why can't we just be in pop? Why can't it just, you know what I mean? So I felt like half of me feels like the rap nomination was a backhanded compliment. Like, oh, my little cousin wants to play the game. Let's give him the unplugged controller so he could shut up and feel good about it. That's what it felt like a bit. But another half of me is very grateful that the art that I made could be acknowledged on a level like this when I don't do the radio stuff, I'm not played in Target, I'm in a whole different world than what a lot of people here listen to. So I'm grateful and like,
Grammy winner Tyler, the Creator. Proudly out DJ Tracy Young picked up a Grammy for Best Remixed Recording Non-Classical for her Pride mix of Madonna's I Rise and made her story along the way.
Us kids don't know what we're talking about, that we're too young to understand how the government works. We call
I said I wouldn't cry, but how can you not? We made history, ladies. I did write some stuff down. I want to thank God for all the blessings in my life. My parents for encouraging me to follow my dreams, my passions, and to feel the fear and do it anyway. I want to thank Madonna, of course, for all the opportunities and recognition over many, many years. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude to you. I want to thank my LGBTQ family, friends, club goers, music lovers who have supported my career from the beginning. And in closing, I want to thank the Recording Academy for recognizing this work. We've shattered the glass ceiling. We've shattered the glass ceiling. Together in a male-dominated industry, I proudly accept this on behalf of all female producers who have been overlooked. Thank you.
Best Remixed Recording Non-Classical Grammy winner, Tracy Young.
Wish I could roll on back to that old town road. I wanna ride till I can't no more.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town.
Lil Nas X shattered the boundaries of country music in 2019. He performed his chart-topping hit Old Town Road with Billy Ray Cyrus and a number of surprise guests during the ceremonies. Lil Nas X won 2 Grammys for Best Music Video and Best Pop Duo Group Performance. His red carpet appearance in a bubblegum pink custom Versace cowboy dominatrix ensemble spoke volumes. A man of few words during his acceptance speeches, he opened up a bit more in a backstage interview.
Thank you.
Everybody, it's Ted Stryker inside Staples Center. The Grammy Awards just ended. Lil Nas X, you took home 2 tonight, and you absolutely were amazing on stage.
Thank you.
You are welcome. I am curious, about a year ago, what the heck were you doing?
A year ago, I was somewhere online promoting this song called Old Town Road with like barely a nickel to my name. And, you know, now I'm here at the Grammys, 2 Grammy Awards, with this handsome young man right here.
Thank you, man. And the year probably flew by for you.
Mm-hmm.
Has the journey and the work that's come with it, has it been more than you thought it would be, or pretty much how you thought it would go?
The journey has been, like, very spiritually and mentally, like, challenging, but it helped, you know, so much. And I've completely turn, and I'm going to continue to turn more into a more better version of myself.
And when your album is nominated for Album of the Year and a collection of your songs is recognized, that's pretty incredible.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's actually the first nomination my EP has gotten, and it's an EP at that too, so
right.
For it to even be nominated, I just feel like thankful, and I'm just super blessed, and yeah.
I think all music fans are very lucky to have you because you are who you are. The songs are incredible. You're great on stage, and I congratulate you on everything, man.
Thank you so much.
Lil Nas X, and I'm Stryker at the Grammys.
That's all from the 62nd Annual Grammy Awards. Next to blossom during this award season, the Oscars. And until then, we're sprouting this scandalous feature.
Hi, I'm Brian DeShazer, and we'll go backstage to visit the cast of the cult comedy classic Women Behind Bars.
A shameful sorority of wanton women, ruled by a hateful house mother of pure heed.
Hi, this is Tracy Boards. Hello, all you beautiful queer people.
Next time on
This Way Out, Honey.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Michael LeBeau and Tanya Kane Perry, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from the Recording Academy. Marvin Gaye, The Fray, The OJs, Tyler the Creator, Tracy Young with Madonna, and Lil Nas X performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson, composer, performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Paul Bannon, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Together with all of our listener donors, they make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on Rainbow Radio, New York, New York, 3UGE, Alexandria, Victoria, KYAQ, Newport, Lincoln County, Oregon, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay tuned.